This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
I'm not sure what channel we're on right now, but whoever's channel it is, I hope that they have pretty good content, and we are happy to be streaming.
They better give us the super chats or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, but anyway, we're here, and we have two probably of the most funny people that I have seen on YouTube. Hugo and Jake are here from the Bible Reloaded. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Was that where we're supposed to say a joke?
You guys know where you're at? Because we don't know where we're at right now. We're streaming somewhere. It could be anywhere.
No idea. Everyone's so somewhere, though. It's fine.
Yeah. Some channel's going to get demonetized real fast.
Yeah. But anyway, welcome, guys. Usually, I almost did it again. We usually do the upcoming shows. We're not doing that anymore because they're going to be flipping through your screen later on in the show. But just some quick highlights. David Pakman on the 16th of October, Ron Miscavige, who is David Miscavige's father, who is the Pope. I believe we settled on the Pope yesterday, Steve, the Pope of Scientology, his father. He wrote a book called Ruthless. He will be here on the 24th of September. So I haven't got those cards in there yet, but you'll see those. And also, we had an addition to the schedule this week. You can find it online at nonsecshow.com/schedule, and that's going to be Sunday. We're having a, of course, a flat Earth debate, and I'll let Steve say who that's between. It's actually 2-on-1.
Yeah, that's actually going to be with Sly Sparkane, if you guys know who he is. He has actually taken upon himself to take on two flat Earthers on a special day, Sunday. We usually don't stream on Sunday. We are making an exception for him because, you know, Sly's pretty cool. He's going to be debating a guy named Bipolar Flat Earth, and Wendell Walton is the other guy. I'm not familiar with these guys. I watched one of their videos and damn near wanted to gouge my eyes out with a pencil. So it was pretty bad.
How do you have two poles on a flat Earth?
Well, he's I found out actually.
Is he bipolar?
Yeah. What? He's bipolar. Yeah, he's bipolar. So he calls his channel Bipolar Flat Earth, and he thinks it's a play on words because of the poles. Right. And it's the flat Earth.
Actually, can't exist on a disc because that's not how things work. Okay,
that's fantastic.
That's good. That should be fun.
And just a real quick correction. It's not another gentleman that he's debating, Steve. It's actually, I believe, his girlfriend. Her name's Willow. So it's going to be a boyfriend-girlfriend couple that are
debating one another?
No, it's a 2-on-1. So they're going to be...
Oh, it's bipolar. Yeah. Girlfriend. Oh, I thought there was going to be a domestic dispute. Okay.
I mean, we compared to some of the shows we've done here, we would do that. We would host that. If somebody has to host that live, we will do that. Just for you, America. So I figured tonight we would start out with something that it kind of gripes me a little bit, but as the gentleman pointed out before the show started, I am one of them, so I have to tread light carefully, I guess. But I think millennials have just fucked up a lot of things for society. there's some good things that they do, yes, but the things that I'm going to point out are in the not so good realm. And I'm not going to go like you would expect and attack like what they do socially, politically, any of that stuff. I think, you know, do whatever you want to do with that. I'm going to talk about what they've done as far as bringing things back that shouldn't be brought back. Would you agree that they're very nostalgic about being, they have nostalgia for nostalgia. Does that make sense?
I think there's a degree
of
that.
They haven't been around long enough.
But I think every generation gets to that point, right?
I think that's true, but it's not necessarily something that I think people asked for. I think we are heavily marketed to in that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Everything is a property of a property of a property. Everything is a Marvel, a DC, a whatever. Yeah. It's a cartoon you saw when you were a kid. Come buy our shit.
It's definitely a cynical corporate.
It's a product of the market, I think, not so much a demand for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but on the reverse side of that, I think we are responsible for hipsters, which I'm fine with. So millennials are either hipsters or they're nostalgic corporate sluts, right?
Okay.
Right?
That's a dichotomy that's airtight. No one can poke a hole in that.
This is going to be great. So let's go. Come with me, guys, and let's walk through what I think are some just things that we'll begin with things that millennials should not have brought back. They should have left it wherever the hell that it died off at long ago. Number one is the Frisbee.
The Frisbee. Like the
Frisbee sales. Like that you throw. Frisbee.
Right, like Frisbee golf. Like Frisbee golf or just Frisbees in general?
Oh, you said froth.
Yeah, frothing. Yeah.
Frisbee golf, yes. That's made a huge surge and comeback. And there was actually a funny article that I came across the other day that said that bike incidents, that's what they call them, incidents, have increased due to the traffic of Frisbee golf. So,
bike incidents?
People throwing Frisbees at people on bikes accidentally.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
People getting hit with, that's such an oddly specific statistic. Who was like,
who's bike incident guy?
I went to college for goddamn statistics. You know what I need to spend my time figuring out? How often do people get hit in the face with fucking Frisbees on bikes? Why is
apparently
that
a thing?
Anyway, sorry.
I watched the other day of a Frisbee being thrown off an overpass while a bike going about 30, 40 miles an hour caught it, actually. It's pretty impressive.
See?
It's a thing now.
See, that's the silver lining. To every bike accident, we have a victory.
No, don't you see this? Catching a Frisbee that fast
took
is
a
downfall
prize,
of the situation.
But
we're done.
Frisbee's going to cause the downfall of civilization.
We'll go to the next one real quick. Fanny packs. Fanny packs are now a thing again. You have celebrities everywhere sporting fanny packs. Here you have, I believe that's Goldie Hawn, Matthew McConaughey. He has a fanny pack on. These things are selling like hotcakes now.
I have a little gripe with your gripe here. None of those people are millennials. All of those people have children.
That's true.
Also, Matthew McConaughey. I would argue Matthew McConaughey is one of the only people on the planet that needs a fanny pack. And all it's
because of his short forearms?
It's because he spends a lot of time naked bongoing, and I gotta assume you still need something to carry all your things in. So,
okay,
Matthew McConaughey, naturally, has probably a collection of fanny packs, and that's fine for him. Only him.
Also, in the early 2000s,
he's pulling it off too.
In the early 2000s, the Rock wore a leather fanny pack with like a. Had you seen that picture? You should have gotten that one because that one was glorious.
I haven't seen it.
The Rock back in the day before he was cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
leather.
It had like shell or something, right?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. It was a bad look.
Would you go up to The Rock and laugh at him for having a fanny pack? I doubt it.
Not today. Back in the day, when I was an invincible teenager, absolutely. But now I've had brushes with mortalities.
I think there are other things you could laugh at The Rock for before fanny pack, like all the movies he's been in.
I do like the HBO series Ballers.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's about sports.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. But these are not millennials because the millennials are driving like these crazes. They're going out. The ones going out and buying these once they see these stars, you know, wearing them. Mm-hmm. I just thought it would be more kind of.
I don't believe you have hard numbers on that. Like people have hard numbers on the Frisbees hitting the people on.
Yeah, I think the Frisbees might actually be a blight on society, but
unless that same guy doing the bike statistics is like fucking fanny packs, number two on my list. Who's buying them?
I think the millennials call them merces. If they're in a room. They're not fanny packs. They're merces.
I thought that was just a man bag.
Yeah. Because we were having that conversation back when Queer Eye for the Straight Guy came out the first time.
Sure.
We were having the merce and the metrosexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't us.
Yeah.
That was you guys.
Yeah.
Well, not you. You traitor.
We have to take our personal feelings out of this. I know this is rough for everybody. It is for me too.
My personal feelings on various handbags are too strong to keep them in. How dare you, sir?
What if a fanny pack came with like a Frisbee holster?
Well, here's the next one, though. This goes right into the next one. Let's bring up the next thing. Jorts. Jorts have hit back in style again. And there are even places that have a hot chicken. This is in Tennessee. Hot chicken and jorts makes denim cutoffs cool again. And this article goes on to tell you how to create your own jorts. And it literally takes you step by step on how to flatten out the jeans and then cut across the jeans with a pair of scissors. Like that's our society now. Yes.
Flatten jean cut with scissors.
This is some Billy Ray Cyrus shit.
You got to get that sweet fringe, though, so people know
that guy
you
has the fringe.
You got to know, because you can't be the asshole who shows up with who bought jorts.
No.
No, you got to make them yourself, otherwise they're not authentic.
Yeah, that's right.
See,
who is that? That guy on the right, is that, like, crack Ben Stiller?
Is that guy wearing a denim hat as well? I respect him. That's a power move.
I don't know. I don't know if he's doing this. If he's dressing up like as somebody, or this is his like Saturday attire, you cannot tell. Is he playing? Is he trying to be funny, or is this how he goes out on Saturday night?
Is he in a race? What is that? Is that like a marathon?
I don't know, but they need to bring denim back. I happen to like denim, and women in denim—that's the best.
There's only one person in this picture that's pulling it off, and that's the guy with the check mark. The guy with the check mark, he actually is okay to wear the jorts. I approve of that.
You know what though? The guy on the right side of that article picture, his thigh game is on point. He prepped or something. I don't know what's going on there, but I thought he'd be hairier based on the facial hair, but no, that's
got a nice pose going.
We don't respect the work jorts take, I don't think.
No.
I think jorts is a it's not about the how it looks like when it's done. It's like a bonsai tree. It's about the process of cutting it and tending to it and taking care of it.
Yeah, take care of that fringe. Keep it fresh. Yeah.
Fresh fringes.
You got
leg on, totally leg off. Leg on, that's your right. Leg off.
My millennials ruined everything here. You're making it cool again. You gotta stop.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Shorts are
next we'll go to words. Oh, this is an example I found several pictures of actually golfers with jorts and fanny packs. Last minute, I didn't include those in this presentation, but this was a way to show you how they all three can go together. Eventually, you can actually super layer the three things we just went over into one big epic game of Frisbee golf. So
I see.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Word. Have you ever tried to play Frisbee golf?
I have once.
It's hard as shit. It's the hardest.
It is, and that's what pissed me off. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult to throw a frisbee at an inanimate object. Like, it should not be that difficult. Yeah.
It's not a precision device. I don't know why someone thought, like, hey, let's turn this into fucking golf.
Well, the yeah. Frisbees are weighted a little bit.
I know,
bit, so
I've seen them.
They're a little bit, it's still not.
You
it's
know
not,
how to do the trick shots. I mean, have you ever tried to do a bounce? Like, do you ever do that? You push it down a little bit, and then you kind of throw it down, and get the it bounces off the air and goes up, or skips?
Hold on, secret millennial.
That's how people do. No, I'm too, the 80s child, man. I played with Frisbees. I mean, you used to do trick shots with it and stuff.
That's how people
boomerang it, so it'll come back to you. You guys don't know what you guys missed out on in childhood.
Nope.
We're going to go into a condition that millennials often suffer from called expressive language exhaustion.
Hmm.
Okay, and this is when saying the actual word is too much. So we've condensed them. So we once had laugh out loud, and then we had. Oh. You only live once. And then we had too long didn't read.
Yeah.
And so those who suffer from expressive language exhaustion, we switch those out to a selective letter orientation. So you get LOL.
That's specifically, that's because of T9 texting and you know it. And that just stuck. That's a fact.
You are a millennial apologist, sir. You are a millennial apologist.
I'm sorry, I'm not mad about acronyms people use.
Well, God damn you know it. What they say. YOLO.
Yeah. AOL Instant Messenger was the reason for most of my school doing this, and even that was condensed to AIM.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. And you know, in those circumstances, it makes sense. But I know that you've been in conversations with people, because we have them all the time, and some of my friends even do this when we were out places. They'll literally say lol, like, in conversation.
See, I'm on board lol. With that. Out loud acronyms that are text. I can be
you
like
to say things ironically all the time, though. You call things whatever boys all the time and fucking
yeah, but like it's because I went to school with people that would what did she used to say? It was raffle. She would say raffle out loud.
Raffle.
But she wouldn't actually laugh at all. She'd say raffle.
Right. She's a robot or a lizard.
A lizard right. person, yeah.
Or a lizard robot.
Remember that hot dog pizza we got?
Yeah.
She made it.
Oh. Yeah.
She hasn't. She very laterally moved from saying raffle out loud to making pizza poorly in a small town. So, yeah.
What is this hot dog pizza? What is this hot dog pizza?
Oh, we ate a disgusting, for a stream once, a disgusting Coney dog pizza. It's one of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth, and that's saying a lot.
It had pickles on it.
Yeah. Don't put pickles
it's
on
not,
pizza.
It's not a proud day.
Uh-uh. Oh. That's awesome.
That sounds utterly disgusting. You know what, though? Yeah.
I have had a hamburger pizza that had pickles on it in Thousand Island, and it was good, I gotta say.
Yeah, yellow has its limits.
And I put this next one on because I actually have a friend that does this. Tulder.
Oh, that's how it's pronounced.
Tulder.
Tulder.
I've never heard someone say that out loud.
No,
I've definitely
either.
Seen a text. Either.
If they said that to me, I would be very confused.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
And I didn't. My brain shut down when we were in a conversation, and I asked this particular friend. She was having a fight with. We have like a. Her boyfriend is a mutual friend of mine, and I said, "Did you read?" What he wrote to you in response to that, because he sent it to me, and I got it through text message. And she said, "Tulder."
Out loud?
Out loud.
Wow.
I think you just
were
have
you friends with the guy first?
See, I think you just have annoying friends. I think that's your
it.
Problem.
That might be it. You might be surrounded by the actual worst of them.
That's highly possible.
Was she wearing? Was she wearing a fanny pack?
And frisbee?
And sewing her frisbee?
She had Uggs on, if that means anything.
Oh, Uggs are still things?
No, those haven't been a thing since 2008.
What? Wow, that's impressive. I didn't know those were... Are they still expensive?
I don't know.
2008? I remember there. I was there, man. I was there. I was there for the Uggs. I didn't own any, but...
I didn't assume you did.
No.
But what was the... Maybe we can all agree with this, though. Let's go to let's go to a couple, right? So, you're a couple in love, and... we all refer to our significant others at one point or another as baby, right?
Oof, I hope not. That's a Southern thing. Babe.
Well, it might. Yeah. But,
babe, okay, yeah.
I'm getting. Yeah. Right. Yeah, babe. But that's because we, baby was too much. We had to shorten it. Had to shorten. Yeah. But even babe wasn't enough. It wasn't short enough. So we just kicked a B out. And now that bay is a thing. Bay is.
I think I've actually heard bay isn't even. It's not short for babe. It's like an acronym for before anyone else. I've heard that. That might be bullshit. I still think it's weird. That I don't was, like. I'm not a pet name person in general.
I do babe and pretty much nothing else.
I hope it is. Because I think
it's irritating to say someone's name over and over.
Yeah,
it makes you sound.
But
I don't know, like a douche.
With this kind of logic, though, eventually, here in probably like 6 years, you're just going to have this is my ba.
My ba? That sounds like a old Turkish man talking about his granddaughter. Oh, my ba.
Or sheep.
She has inherited my wealth. And it is a sheep.
Sure.
Because he's Turkish. And I don't know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then we'll just put a heart around it just for... Yeah, there we go. Okay. Okay, and then if that's not enough, they've hijacked words, complete words altogether. Words that meant something years ago no longer mean what they mean anymore. And for example, snowflake. Snowflake used to be this really pretty thing that fell from the heavens. Now it is a go ahead.
This is not an I'm sorry, I'm disagreeing with absolutely everything you're saying. This isn't an identifier millennials put on themselves. This is something older generations tend to call younger.
It's the boomers!
Yeah. Disagree.
But that's what
anyway,
but we are responsible but, for. But it is something, like, if you go, I know that I watch all the time those streams. I don't want to call them art writers, but that other side of the skeptic community where you have people like Sargon and Medica and all those guys. They throw the term out all the time. Snowflake.
Yeah.
And it's an accepted thing now. Like, if you get called a snowflake, nobody... Go ahead.
I will argue Sargon's a boomer.
At least mentally. Yeah.
Yeah. I will definitely argue that.
I'll give you that one. But but there are those. For the sake of the bit, just go along with it, okay?
Can't do it.
I'm fucking your shit up. I'm sorry.
You're ruining this. We spent hours planning this to have it fucked up in 5 minutes by Hugo and Jake. See this?
No, this is actually way better than I thought it was going to go. The next is Slay. Now, this is a millennial thing. This is a millennial
thing. This one I'll give you. That's fair.
I think it's a cultural thing, though. I think this is more of the, I don't know. I think this is younger than us.
Even. Yeah, a little bit.
I think you're
whippersnapper.
I don't know. I think I got this one, guys.
I've never heard anyone say this in real life. In fairness, I don't talk to people. I don't like
I only hear it anyway. In response to like strong black women doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like slay queen.
Yeah.
But I've
heard Beyonce's general vicinity.
Yeah, slay. Yeah. But she's just walking.
But see, we can agree that if we let's take two queens in history, right? Let's take Beyonce first. If you say slay queen Beyonce, that means something a lot different than if you go back to Anne Boleyn and say slay queen. Mm. Two completely separate
you slaughter
things.
Her.
It's right, because she actually got slayed. Like, she actually had what happened on the left happen.
That's her neck right there, I think, right? Yep. It's so, the neck. It's squirting a little bit of slay juice.
Yeah. I wanted to get a little shocked at you. Yeah.
Think how long that artist was like working on doing
the thing
art.
Is look at the head. Like the head is like balancing on the end of the sword.
It's impressive. It's not. I mean,
it is.
Good for that guy.
When you have gold boots, though, I mean, you should be able to do something like that.
Okay, right. Gold boots or fanny packs, which is worse?
I'm not sure, honestly.
I'm going to go with a fanny pack.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a fanny pack. I mean,
I would wear gold boots. I've never worn a fanny pack.
If they make fun of you enough, you just go have them melted down and then buy a Maserati with it. So the next, the third one in this particular, Daddy.
I gotta be on board with you again.
In fairness, if I'm describing Jordan Peterson, this is the only accurate word to use.
Daddy.
That's what he makes me call him.
That was great. That was one of the night right there. Get that that timestamp. We'll then go to we're about halfway through. Then with words, the last thing that we're going to talk about that we do is we make up words. We just or we alter what some of them mean altogether. So we'll begin with, of course, woke. What is woke? Bible Reloaded, Hugo and Jake. What does woke mean?
It's like being socially conscious, as far as I understand. But the kids use the word.
But at this point, it's like sarcastic.
I've seen it both. I've seen it too,
but like not in like 2 years. Stay woke, and then now it's like, look at this guy. He's so woke.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what it means now.
You guys are not woke, are you? Yeah, you guys are not woke at all.
We are.
You're like anti-woke.
Well, let me ask you this. I know my fellow millennials will get this, but let me ask Steve. If I were to tell you, and I won't, but if I were to tell you that your eyebrows are on fleek, what would that mean to you?
That I need to pluck them?
No.
Have you really been not... Not baptized in the fleek waters.
I'm not a fleek. What is fleek?
Okay, so is that a thing people still say? Because it was funny when it came out.
It's the fleek. I've never had I understand if someone's like your eyebrows are on fleek. It's like they're on.
It's
point.
Always been
they're
like
excellent.
Sarcastic,
but like
in my opinion,
it's like
is
a
that
nebulous...
like when you pluck them all and you draw them back in, so they're like perfect or something.
Like, it's like a general good connotation.
It's basically like saying, "Hey, that's wicked." Remember when you kids used to say that?
Like in the 90s, you'd be like, "That's super rad."
I remember wicked. Like, yeah,
it's basically well, wicked like, was it's, bad it's a superlative.
Okay. Wicked.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like your eyebrows look really good today, bro. But I can't say that to you without it sounding weird. So someone will say your that's eyebrows right. are on fleek. I haven't heard it done seriously in about 4 years. I don't know. Since Obama left,
he took the word with him when
he
left.
It with him. That makes sense.
Thank you, Obama. Okay, and this is one that I struggle with because it affects my community, and a bunch of my my friends use this word, and I just can't. I guess it's because I can't say it correctly because I'm not. Anyway, put it up there, Dave. We got our own answer. Yeah.
How do you say that?
Yeah.
I mean, but when I say yes, it just doesn't sound right. Like, I'm gay, but I can't pull off that.
It's got to be gayer.
Yes.
I know.
Yes. Right. It's got to be real gay.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be how people think you are.
It helps if you throw a queen at the end, too. Yes, right. Queen.
Like, imagine what a homophobic person and thinks gay people are like, and then say it like that,
but like 10%.
I can do that.
Yeah,
I can do that. Yes.
No.
No, that's just super white.
It's in the A. It's in the A. Yeah.
Nasal. You gotta get a little nasally.
It is. It's in the nose.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. And I hope I have heard your community say this before, and it has actually irritated me quite a bit. And then just girls sometimes say this. It often goes with the queen thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not a fan.
Also very Beyonce-esque word.
Yeah, no, I'm good without it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a thing now. Like, when somebody says that, they know what you mean. You know, like, that's my point through these words. Like, people understand what you're talking about when they say these things. And that's where I think the frightening part comes in. Like... why is it this way, and why do people think that we are like the worst generation? Well, here's some scientific evidence now on why that might be the case. We'll go through. Oh, I know. That was a horrible segue.
That wasn't us. We didn't do any of those things.
Do you guys remember, compared to what we've got going on nowadays with incels and flat earthers and all of that lot, I miss the days when Bigfoot and aliens were how we were able to tell if people were out there. Now, this is normal to me. So we'll go ahead and stamp these with normal. If you say you believe in Bigfoot and you say you believe in aliens, then I'm going to deem you somewhat normal. But then we're going to go into now where the disconnect happens and what's happening with society. An article came out in Vox, I believe. This is the Vox article. Go ahead and pop that up. But maybe.
Or not. There it is.
Yes. Okay. One in five millennials thinks vaccines cause autism. One in five. That's 20% of us think that vaccines will give you autism.
How many now, people overall? I wonder if the millennials. Do you know why? It's because of the amount of information we have without filter.
That might be it. Access to information that's just bullshit information half the time. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Also, millennials tend to be liberal, and anti-vaccination movement is a fringe left movement.
But it's also fringe right at this point. It's so weird.
I've seen some. I see it more from like super left people.
Yeah, I see it more from super left too. More like the non-GMO organic crowd. It's almost always the same people. Often vegans, which not every vegan's crazy, but like you kind of have to be. That Venn diagram's a circle. there's a lot of that. I don't know where this stems from. There was a health conscious movement, and I think people moved well past it into crazy town. They should have stopped halfway between that and flavor town.
Go to the next slide, Dave. We're gonna.
I was just told that my beard is fleek.
So. Your beard is fleek. Do we say that?
He's super glued. Like, here's the story, guys. He's super glued on a Colonel Sanders costume for Halloween one year, and
this is detachable. I take this off every other day. Yeah,
since then,
totally detachable.
With flat Earth, though, guys, in a scientific journal, this study was put out. This is absolutely frightening. 66% of millennials can say with confidence that the Earth is round. The other 4% either can't be sure of the shape of the Earth. Or they believe it's flat. 44%. That's nearly half.
I'd have to read this entire article in this paper. I find that highly suspect. There is 0% chance in my mind that 44% of people in that age group genuinely think the Earth is flat or unsure.
Isn't
I'd love the link. I find that highly suspect.
That's 34%.
Oh, sorry.
Well, he said 44. No, it's 30.
Yeah, I did. That's
34.
That's how math works.
That's getting closer. Trump has an approval rating of like 40%. That's getting. That's about right as far as like dumb shits. Like I get.
So don't you think, I'm thinking
high though.
It's definitely high, but again, I think that comes with what Jake said as far as like access to too much information unfiltered without. Anyone standing over your shoulder and, you know, without the ability to tell what is credible and what is not.
I'd like to see where that was, where those polls were given and if they did that to, like...
I'm also curious what percentage of people...
Did they go on college campuses and do that? Because I would write...
I could see people being like, haha, fuck this survey, whatever.
I see a lot of people doing that. So I would say the plus minus on that's 15%.
Yeah.
But even if it was that many... fuck them. They're not going to figure out how to reproduce anyway.
Spheres are flat and holes are just, you can't go in there. They're hole blind.
They do go in there. It's some, I'll send you the link, but they, and I'll link it in the description as well, but they do go into break down all those numbers. But I think when they broke it down, it was, as far as the Earth being like flat, the millennials that believed it was flat was like 6%, I want to say. The rest of them just... felt we were being lied to, or they still couldn't say that with certainty that the Earth was round. I still think that's frightening. Like whether they believe it's completely flat or not, the most of them are kind of confused.
Were they being pedantic? Because that's very millennial.
I'm also curious how the... it depends, because depending on how you word a question, it can very much be misleading, especially in a study like this. Like,
right.
If it's worded like, are you 100% certain, you could get into pedantic arguments about, can I be certain about anything? Bullshit.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. They ask a philosophy class this question.
Yeah.
What even is that's round?
What is round?
Go to the next.
What is lamp? What is chair?
These are, this was an interesting article as well. It seems that there's an uptick in beliefs that are, go along the superstitious route, like astrology, that sort of
thing. I know the answer to this.
Go ahead.
Less people are religious, but they still need a thing.
That would make sense. I can see that. Yeah.
I would. Absolutely. And also Facebook. It's just garbage.
Yep.
Yeah. Facebook is trash.
The three reasons that this article gives are going to be right there. There's that first one, astrology. The second one is superstitious thinking. The conspiracies, that's the thing. That the people, they feel like they're being lied.
See, the conspiracy thing, though, I kind of understand, because distrust in institutions is up, like, across the board for pretty obvious reasons, and I can understand that.
The conspiracy thing is the Alex Jonesian...
Right. It depends on if you mean, like, Alex Jones conspiracy or a general idea, like, yeah, I think the government's not very honest about a lot of things, because that's a sentiment a lot of people have. I don't know. It depends.
I figured it out.
I'd say though that I think, you know, the Alex Jones thing is effective. It's simple.
Yeah.
It sounds complex, and it sounds like, ooh, there's this thing, but it really just gives you a bad guy, and that's what people like to have.
Yep. And there's one more reason that they give, and that is that they need stability, and they're looking for a. It's kind of like what you said just a second ago about they need a thing, even though they're less religious, they still needed a stable, you know, foundation to go back
and I don't know, as a millennial, I think it's not a super stable place to be in post boomers. Like, I don't know, there was a lot of this push to go to college and stuff, and now most of us are saddled with debt. Yeah. Most of us are saddled with underpaying jobs due to college not really being worth it necessarily. I think there's larger, broader things that go into this. I think this specific kind of subgroup goes into the we're kind of falling out of this. They have a lot of information, a lot of it's wrong, but a lot of it is offering alternatives, even if it's astrology, to typical Christianity or whatever theism, because those are very conservative leaning. And most millennials are not. And so they don't want to be in there, but they still have this, like, mumbo-jumbo part of their brain that wants to latch on to weird shit. And so, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. They're dumb. They're dumb people. Most of them are under 25. So, yeah.
Do you remember the old adage, don't trust anybody over 30? You guys ever heard that one before?
Yeah. Over 30?
Back in the day. Yeah. Back in the 60s, Jack Weinberg, he was a leader of a left-wing movement, an environmental activist, and he had an expression, don't trust anybody over 30. So basically, I think that's kind of continued on to this day, I think.
Sure.
And, then we're going to go into this is going to be difficult to get through, because there's no denying the gentleman. Like, you can make excuses for everything that we saw up until this point, but I'm going to show you an image here. And this is going to define our generation.
Dinner!
Now, we have a generation that is obsessed with challenges on YouTube. It started innocently enough with just ice and water in a bucket and dumping it on your head. But we couldn't be satisfied with that. We can't have nice things.
I feel like the cinnamon challenge came first. Was that first? Because I feel like when I was a little kid, people were like,
"That's been around a while." Yeah.
Have you guys seen the one where the guy, he doesn't like just eat a Tide Pod? He has a bong or something.
He smokes the Tide Pod?
He smokes the Tide Pod.
That's gotta hurt so bad.
Which I gotta imagine just gives you the most cancer in the world.
As a joke, when this happened, because we were like, this is fucking stupid, I grabbed one, because I actually just had them in the house, because we used Tide, and I grabbed one for a joke, like, ha-ha, Tide Pods, aren't they idiots? And I, like, licked one, and it lasted in my mouth for 45 minutes. It was just bitter and awful. So while it is stupid, anyone who actually eats one...
You licked one!
I just it touched my lip.
It's
like I didn't actually go, I went like this against my mouth and like covered it up for the bit, and it touched my wet lip, and it was bitter. For like anyone who actually can finish one of those does get a tiny bit of respect, not in their intellect, in their fucking constitution, because they're stupid. Well, but goddamn,
this is the greatest episode ever.
You guys remember you had planking? Remember planking? And before that,
planking.
Noted. And then before that, you had pulsing. Somebody asked me in the live chat if I remember pole sitting. Yeah, people would actually sit on telephone poles and flag poles and just climb up there and
pole sitter.
Sit. Oh, I thought you were talking about like pole sitting like I do every Saturday night.
No, totally different thing. Times have changed now. Yeah, it means something totally different.
Well, okay, but as extreme as Tide Pods are, right, now we get into what several people have gone to the hospital for this month, because this is the new challenge. This is for real. This is not exaggeration. The hot water challenge. People are now boiling water and dumping it on their heads themselves. This is a challenge. This is a thing.
This is a culling, is what it is.
That's definitely something someone made up on 4chan to be like, how many people can we give third degree burns? That sounds very 4chan.
It sounds like a troll that was successful.
Yeah.
A lot of people have gone to the hospital. So this inspired me to go ahead and plan out the rest of the year for people so that we can go ahead and have these challenges set and ready to go. So for September, get ready, because we're going to be doing cannonballs off skyscrapers. That'll be fun.
Into water? From there,
just in wherever you land, you know, depending on what skyscraper you're on. I mean, that's the challenge, you know,
This is going to help our population. A lot.
Absolutely. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm ultimately getting at. This is natural selection at its best.
This might be good because the boomers, there's just so fucking many, and we got to wait for them to just. And sorry, mom. And like this will just be the opposite of that, where it's like we just started dying, and no one, like in the history books, they'll be like, we don't know because like the internet broke or something. We lost all the records of the Tide Pods and the cannonballs.
It's the purge, except you're doing it to yourself. So it's like anorexia. Yeah, it's millennial anorexia. All right, so go to November or November, because you're going to bitch slap a grizzly bear while covered in honey.
I'm here for the name alone.
I agree.
November.
Yep. That name is on fleek.
Can we make... fuck you. Can we make a B-movie about this? November.
I have several suggestions for people who can play the part of the honey covered bitch slapper. Definitely. December is going to be fully loaded Russian roulette.
I see. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And then get stuntmen, get ready, because January is your month. It's going to be the roll between the wheels of the moving train challenge. Now, what is scary is that this actually happened last week. A gentleman was filmed testing out and timing himself to go through a train on this one train that came by. When the second train came by, he thought it was ready. He went to barrel roll between the tracks, and the wheels got him. The scary thing to me here is that the young lady this is my point about millennials. The young lady that filmed this entire thing, that's the actual guy. No one stopped him. There was a crowd of people just holding their phones up, filming this entire travesty.
Is that guy a millennial?
That guy's like 47 at the
yeah.
At best. I'm giving that guy a real hard.
Now the camera people, most likely millennial. That's fine.
But I'm gonna give him this. Some fucking guy starts trying to roll under a train. I'm not getting near that fucking train.
Did he die or did he?
He died. He's got squished. He said.
Did he get severed in several places?
The train drugging for miles before the conductor realized that there was something extra on the cargo, I guess.
It drugged him. That's interesting. I'm surprised it didn't. Kyle,
did you remember back? Do you remember back in 2017? There was a millennial couple that wanted to do a YouTube stunt, and he had talked her into shooting him point blank range with a Desert Eagle 50 cal. Because he had put I don't know what kind of phone book, or he put a book in front of her, saying, convincing her that the book would shield the bullet, killed him.
Why not test that? We talked about this briefly before. Why not shoot a different book?
Right, like send it somewhere and put a teddy bear behind it. Like, let's see if this works.
Yeah. Basic, I don't care if I test it 1,000 times. I'm not going to have anybody shoot me with a book in front of me. That's
no, me either. I'm just saying, at least.
Even if, but like, at least.
Can you imagine if it had been the Bible, though?
It sounds like
that. Somebody would have said, the Bible is going to protect me. Can you imagine how that would have gone over?
It sounds like
Mr. ID. This one?
It sounds like Mr. ID's experiment, but sideways.
Yeah, but he didn't use a 50 cal Golden Eagle, I think it was.
Did you have the after on this?
No.
That's definitely Reddit somewhere.
I can't. I don't do blood very well. I pass out live here on camera, and we don't want that. But
there was definitely a lot of it.
Oh yeah. Ugh. Like a tube of toothpaste. I bet.
Are you trying to make a pass out?
There were several different body bags. I mean, they took him out of there in peace and wasn't whole.
Yeah.
But that dude's
gonna get a Darwin Award for sure.
It will absolutely. In closing with this segment, I propose, based on these arguments, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that we go back to what our original generational name was, and I think it sums up what the rest of the generations just think when they think millennials, and that's Generation Y. Why?
Why?
He died doing what he loves.
Being an idiot? He did.
Getting squished.
All right, we'll switch up screens. We'll put our guests up in the main. Oh, we got Wayne here. Wayne! Originally I only planned on doing that first segment for the first 5 minutes, but I was really glad that we got that much out of that. That was awesome. So we've got Wayne here. Can you hear me, Wayne?
Pray. I cannot hear Wayne.
Wayne.
Can't hear you, Wayne.
Can you?
Yes.
Oh, now we can.
Can you hear us?
There you go.
There you go. All right.
How's it going, Wayne?
Magic, it works.
Yeah.
So now that you're here with us, we're going to – what time is it? Well,
8:50.
We can – let's briefly go through Jonah and the Whale really quickly. We won't hit the main points. But I wanted to – they, if you haven't seen it, go to their channel, Hugo and Jake, and watch the Jonah and the Whale video because it was fantastic. I mean, and they do a really good job of reading these and applying what we know today and that optimistic sarcasm that they're both known for. To it, and it was just great. It was a great video, and so I wanted to kind of go through that briefly. But it's actually good that you're with us, Wayne, because you're a Christian. And let me ask you, what are your thoughts on the Jonah and the Whale story? Just real for people who haven't read it or whatever. Just a summary: Jonah is thrown overboard from a ship because of a storm that's supposed to quell the storm. God sends a big fish swallowing hole. He's in there for 3 days. He survives. The whale vomits him up on a shore. He then goes to a city and announces that their fall is coming. The city believes this stranger that's just stumbled in and tells them they're going to lose their city. God decides not to punish the city. And then Jonah gets mad and gets a really bad sunburn. Does that pretty much summarize the Jonah and the whale story?
Yeah, that pretty much summarizes it.
Okay, so my question to you is, and I know that you have different thoughts than you know, fundamental Christians, but do you believe that that actually happened?
I would say, I don't know. It could have happened, but the way I would take it is it most likely was written as an allegory to give a lesson. And the reason why I say this isn't because, well, okay. In ancient Near Eastern thought, they would use animals, like talking animals, or some type of mystical animal, or some type of magical animal, so they could like convey some type of certain point. So it literally could have just been written as a story. And then you have some Christians who say, well, you know, the whole part about him being eaten by a fish is kind of like out of the ordinary. So it could be maybe he died for 3 days. I know there's something in the New Testament which it says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so will Jesus be in the heart of the earth, raised and dead, or something like that. So those are the two like main interpretations of it. Me personally, I think it most likely was written as an allegory. I could be wrong, but because of the fact that in ancient Near Eastern thought, they used different animals so they could convey certain points like fables. That's what I would say.
Okay. Do you guys want to follow up on that? I know that. Go ahead.
Nice to meet you, Wayne, by the way.
I find it a little bit interesting that, I mean, certainly I agree with you in the sense that I think it's a story and I think it's made up and a parable basically to teach some sort of lesson.
It's a conversion story is what it is. He goes from the city he's in. He doesn't want to go do God's work. That's really the story of Jonah the whale. Then he goes across. He's like, nah, you got to throw me over. I'm going to die. And then he ends up there. Still doesn't want to do it. Then does it.
I find it interesting that you're kind of like iffy on it, though. Doesn't it like bother you at all that he like is in a fish for 3 days? I think we pretty well know like
that's it's not a whale, by the way.
No, it's a big fish. But at the time, it's not like they had the distinction. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, do you find it possible at all that it could be a literal interpretation and someone somehow actually survived in the stomach of a creature for 3 days because there'd be oxygen?
So then that's where the Christians would take the more, I guess you would say, like historical view of the account. They would say, well, in the New Testament, he compares himself to Jonah. That's why I say, you know, Jesus, he as the Son of Man will be dead for 3 days, like Jonah in the whale. You know, I'll do the same thing. So, if something like that happened, you would die. Like nobody, you would be dead. So. Okay. Some Christians, they say, oh, you know, we think Jonah definitely died, but somehow God, you know, resurrected him, life. Those Christians who have that view. It has nothing to do with the science. It has everything to do with, like, this is what ancient people did. They told stories. Like, they used mystical animals. Like, for example, even the Garden of Eden, where you have a talking snake. Nothing to do with science, but in ancient animals, and we had mystical beings and all these weird animals, it usually was a fable.
See, this is what I find interesting then. I'm going off a little off topic. Like in the Adam and Eve story, specifically with Satan, the snake, whatever you want to call it, literally that has a line, a through line from Genesis all the way to the New Testament, where the entire reason for original sin is the events of the story of Adam and Eve. So if you don't take a literalist view of Genesis and the snake story and Adam and Eve and original sin,
pointless.
Why did Jesus come and have to sacrifice himself to get rid of original sin if the story in which original sin was originated is not a literal account of a historical event, but a parable?
Well, also consider that, and I know that Noah isn't necessarily sinless, but even after that, they reset, and we start over from not that group of people anyways. It's just...
That's a good question.
Noah.
By the way, Wayne, you're cutting out a little bit. I think you have the fan noise that's probably contributing as well.
Oh, my clipping.
Yeah, so it's kind of over-modulating and clipping out because of the fan noise and other things.
That's a very good question. I have never... I've never thought of that. How would you answer that?
Because original sin doesn't exist. it's okay though. It's okay. Original sin doesn't exist. The world still goes on. Original sin can be traced back to Saint Augustine. And so it was St. Augustine who basically was arguing against, I think it was Pelagianism. And he basically goes, he makes the point that the reason why we all sin is because Adam and Eve and blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off. That happens in John the Baptist. It's in the first sections of the New Testament. It's not just, it may not be called original sin, but you need to be baptized to even get to heaven. And then later on, Jesus needs to wash our sins away to even continue. So, I mean, just being born necessitates a cleaning.
Yeah.
It's so whether you call it original sin or not, it is sin that originates by you existing.
And even within the scriptures,
those are red words.
Like Mary is, when Mary is concerned, you have to have the Immaculate Conception as well.
Or Jesus can't be born sinless. And that's an actual phrasing they use.
Right.
Implying without Augustine. So I just don't know how you get there, which is fine. I'm glad you don't, like, from a pragmatics perspective.
Right. I'm
but
just
your apologetics kind of fizzle a little bit.
Without original sin, yeah. Why Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
So people don't sin because of Adam and Eve, and these two people were butt naked in the garden and all that stuff. I mean, that would be cool, right? But, like, we sin because we're human, and humans make mistakes. And so, like, that's it. Sure. It's like the saying to err is to be human. We sin because we're human.
But then why the significance on Jesus having to be born sinless?
Because again, the Immaculate Conception, not virgin birth. Immaculate Conception is the concept that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born without sin, so she could be a sinless vessel. It specifically is talking about original sin and her lack of it.
You're talking about the.
It's a Catholic understanding of it.
Catholic understanding of it. And then you have, the regular... I will hold to, the regular virgin.
No,
birth.
I have an NIV Bible here that says that if you want me to read it.
Those are just, two different... They're different models. They call it different things. So depending on what you call it, that's how you can know, okay, you're a Catholic or you're a Protestant or whatever. So Catholics call it Immaculate Conception, and Protestants call it the virgin birth. But...
those are two separate things. Virgin birth and Immaculate Conception.
The Immaculate Conception is Mary's mom. That way Mary is born sinless so that Jesus can be. It's like a separation.
She was a sanctified vessel that didn't have NIV.
It's not there. So, I mean...
Well, yeah, no, it's in the NIV, but the Catholics kind of play it up.
Absolutely.
The whole Immaculate Conception is that basically that Mary herself was sinless so she can act as a vessel to procreate by the Holy Ghost and inseminating her and having Jesus. But the virgin birth just means that she didn't have sex to do it. That's a completely different thing.
Yeah, and that transcends sex of Christianity. It's not just Catholic. Yeah.
Well,
and that's not what he's saying, Wayne. Go ahead. I think she'll hear him out one more time. Let him ask you the question real quick.
I think the problem is with us 21st century people. We think that the ancient people are trying to communicate some type of science or something like that. Like, I know a lot of Christians today are like, oh, Jesus wouldn't have been born sinless because he wasn't born of a man or something like that. And sin is only passed through. I heard some people trying, not you guys, but maybe some people like Answers to Genesis trying to argue that sin is passed through your genes and something like that. Like, no, sin is a completely philosophical, moral idea. So if Jesus, was sinless, honestly, was he sinless? I don't know. I could say I don't know. But I would say he was perfect in mind, thought, deed, and action. So if you want to say sinless in that respect, sure, yeah.
You think Jesus could have been
sinless? Yeah, hearing that one more time, because that's not what he's pointing out. Just hold on one second, Wayne, and let him go through the question that he asked you. Because I think it's completely different. Question altogether. Go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to do with Jesus's sinlessness. It has to do with the actual concept of original sin,
like it's in the Bible,
right? And not just in the Genesis story, not just in Catholicism. It's in the actual body of the New Testament, and it is important. It's so important that they mention it more than once.
And your conception of this, by the way, is a very contemporary new conception. This is like not how people in the past have looked at these things. It almost seems like a response to holes being poked in the system as opposed to an actual conclusion that would be drawn out otherwise if the holes weren't poked in the first place. Does that make sense? I don't know.
You guys probably wouldn't know where at, so I can't say where, but give me like an idea of like where, or at least paraphrase like a verse in the Bible that talks about original sin, because I can guarantee. So the idea of original sin, as far as I know, it came from
Satan. They know the book right now.
That's what they do.
Let me go to my sticky notes. You guys can have a discussion while I find this.
There, he's going to find it, but let me just try and reiterate one more time so I can explain like why we're saying this is integral to Christianity as a whole and not just Catholicism, although it is certainly biggest in Catholicism. Again, within the Bible, within the text of it, and he's going to look it up right now, it specifically says and takes time to mention that Mary was conceived by her mother and father without original sin, the Immaculate Conception, so that she could be a sinless vessel without original sin for Jesus. Again, these are concepts in the Bible that are very much tied to the literal interpretations of Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And
not that I know of. But as far as I know of, the New Testament, as far as Matthew starts off, it starts off with an angel coming to Mary saying that she will bear God's child.
It's in Luke. Birth of John the Baptist foretold, and birth of Jesus foretold. It's fine. It's
Let me look it up.
Anyway,
what do you want to Wayne? While they're looking for that verse, do you want to let everybody know what? Because I think that you, obviously, as we pointed out a little bit, you have a different view on Christianity, and you try to take yours in a more scientific based approach. Is that right?
Which I appreciate. Record.
More scholarly. It has nothing to do with the science, and it has everything to do with like just going. So, for example, a lot of people are like, "What do I don't know?" Like younger Christians, like, "What do astronomers think?" Oh, whatever they think, we're going to think the exact opposite because that's not what the Bible teaches. No, if you want to find out something about the Bible, or as far as getting the right interpretation of the Bible, you should go and look at either the church fathers, look at what the early church fathers thought, or you should most likely go into what different ancient or Eastern people thought back then. So you can try and get like the bigger picture. Because, like, of course, like, science didn't exist back then. They didn't have science. They didn't have astrophysics. They didn't have biology. Like, that stuff, like, it didn't exist to them. So you have to try and get into, like, an ancient person's mind and figure out, okay, what are they trying to communicate to their audience?
Well, if you're already in a position of recognizing that they didn't have the abilities we have today and the processes we have today by which we essentially parse reality from fiction and decide what is real in the world and try and understand the world around us, you get to that point and make the understanding that they didn't have that, yet you still believe that somehow within this story is an inherent line of truth. And I'm curious as to how you get to that point in the first place.
Nah. So they're called meta-narratives. Like, if I told you how went today, it wouldn't sound like a list of things. It would sound like a story. You know, I woke up and I went here, and then I went to this place, and you know, here this happened, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what happens when you look at stories like the Bible or any other like religious book, right? They're telling you stories about their day to day, and maybe all of the details aren't 100% right, but they're trying to explain to you, okay, this is how I think God was in the details, and you can believe it, you cannot believe it. But I think most people who read the Bible, they already, in some form or you know fashion, believe in God anyway. So they're looking at the Bible and they're like, you know, this is how I see God in the details of it.
Sure, but why do you go to, for instance, the Bible as opposed to, I don't know, like the Quran or any Eastern faith or anything like that? For some reason, you specifically obviously gravitate to Christianity. Why that as opposed to anything else?
So if there is a God, like somewhere out there in the universe, we wouldn't know unless that God somehow like revealed himself or somehow showed himself. And if that weren't the case, we just wouldn't know. And so Christianity is the only religion where it definitely brings that to the table. It says, hey, there is a God. And guess what? This God.
All religions with a deity bring that to the table by definition, saying there is a God.
Right. And that they act on the world. And
Islam does that. Hinduism does that. I mean, there are tons of religions that say there is some sort of God and then go on to describe it.
Buddhism.
Right. They say there's a God, and then what sets Christianity apart is that hypostatic union of Christ, where God he doesn't just exist. He's not just like in the stratosphere somewhere. He actually intersects with his creation. He actually he actually incarnates himself, so he can interact with his world, with his creation, and so that's actually different. As a matter of fact,
why does that inherently to you make that more true than, let's say, the Quran, for instance, which says that there is a God, there was a Jesus, but the Quran says that Jesus was a prophet and not the Son of God? Why does Jesus being the Son of God inherently make that somehow more truthful for you?
Why not the Hellenistic religions where there's demigods and gods that walk among people all the time, which is even more impressive than just one?
You said where gods do what?
The Hellenistic religion. Like, think Grecian, Roman, so like Hercules Thor. And stuff like that. Thor, the tale of Achilles walking among the people and like actually being a factor in the war against Troy,
right.
Which is objectively more impressive
than
anything Jesus does.
Interacting with
and
their
it's
creation.
Earlier.
Yeah.
And so
we have more evidence for historical Jesus, number one, but also like post-resurrection, where Jesus' disciples and you have Paul, their testimonies are just more compelling. So, I mean, if you have more evidence on one side, why would you go to the other side with the least amount of evidence, because the story just sounds better?
I'm curious what the evidence is still, because I still don't think you've necessarily mentioned evidence. You've talked about claims, for sure. The followers of Jesus, the people afterwards, certainly made many claims about him.
Well, it took him 30 years, though.
Right. And again, we've talked about this on our show before. The various books of the Bible, the earliest written account was at the earliest written 30 years after the death of Jesus. The later ones, like Luke, were written about 100 years after the fact. And I know you're not a literalist in the first place, so I'm not like trying.
Well,
to
I mean, they
you.
Were though. They were literally. But, that's when they were written.
But you're basing it on those claims. Again, those claims are written long after the fact. Probably not by the person. We don't know who wrote them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mark
you're
is the earliest.
Kind of just taking their word for it at the
at
end of
66,
the day.
Which is 36 years later. That's the earliest. The latest is 70, which would be 40 years. Up to John, which adds another 30 years to that. So I mean.
Yeah.
So I have a timeline there on my computer, but the main thing being the case, when you look at the different evidences as far as like the different like testimonies of Paul and James and Luke and et cetera like that, they correspond with the, that we do find. So for example, Sir William Ramsay, he was a skeptic. He went out to Jerusalem, to the Middle East. And he said, you know what, if these people really were, you know, interacting with Jesus and met Jesus, they should have known the geography. They should know the location. So he actually went down there, scoped out the place, scoped out the location based on the descriptions in the New Testament. And he actually converted, because he said, you know what, these people had to have been at these certain places, because it's very, you know, descriptive about these ones in the New Testament.
Sure. But those people lived in the area, so of course they would know the area and be able to describe it. That doesn't make the story set in that location true. It's a common trope.
Yeah,
but
for
instance, I could say Spider-Man comics are really good at describing New York City, but that doesn't make Spider-Man real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we know Spider-Man was written as a genre like fiction. So, but we obviously know it was written as a genre history, so it doesn't really like a category error. But with that being the case, there's always going to be an error bar where you definitely can always have doubt. I mean, right now, I could doubt that. I'm African American. I could say, I'm probably Indian or something like that. If I go and get a DNA test, you could always have room for doubt. But it makes more sense to go with the evidence you do have. Why not go with the evidence that you do have until your model was okay. Basically
all right.
Again, you like to say evidence a lot. I haven't heard any.
Well, okay. So specifically, the evidence that was cited, which I disagree with the definition. That's fine. Was that a guy went to the place and he converted, kind of like Lee Strobel,
sure,
or whatever. He goes and he investigates Jesus and he finds out that this is compelling to me, and he converts. How is that more compelling than people that deconvert that also have a high status?
It could be.
Isn't it the same?
I mean, so for what I know, a lot of people who do deconvert, they don't know much about Christianity to begin with. So it, you know,
that's
a huge
claim.
Probably,
I'm just going to put that out there. That's a baseless.
So the person I'm going to go to here is Matt Dillahunty.
Okay,
who makes sense. Was in seminary and went to school to be a preacher, and he did that for, I think he says, up to 30 years. 30 years of his life, he was a Christian, including, you know, as a child. And then he's not anymore, and he converted. He would maintain that he both knows a lot about the Bible, which I agree with, and I know he is educated.
And I would.
And he says that he truly believed it at every point up until he didn't.
And also a more personal one, for instance, I was Christian most of my life until I actually sat down and read the Bible more. And the more I read of it, the less and less religious I became. And I literally do this for a job now. I read the Bible on a constant basis.
Yeah.
And I don't find it to have evidence. The more I read of it, the less it seems true to me.
Also, I guess if we're going to go with evidence and what seems more true, the New Testament contradicts itself constantly. Okay. I don't know how you do it. And
Aaron Ra was Mormon. Regardless, Iowan was a Baptist. Was a Pentecostal preacher or Baptist preacher. Sirius was a young earth priest. We have a lot of people in the community there that you deconverted at one time, but you're not out of the faith, but you deconverted from young earth creationism.
So that's a good point. If it's for evolutionism or even like a more like liberal,
you're
breaking
up. Can you hear?
Your mic's cutting out bad.
How do I have options from?
Try talking now.
You might just have to be, if it's one of these on the
you hear me
headset. You might, yeah,
yeah, sort of.
So far,
you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Quick prayer, real
quick. You guys hear me now?
Better.
Yes.
Better. It's a lot better. If you hold it closer, it might not clip out.
Oh no! I just took it out altogether.
Well, now you got an echo.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh gosh! See, I was just like. Hold on, I'll put it back in. Jesus.
Yeah.
Let us pray.
See if that helps. See if that helps. I was a Baptist too. He hit the nail on the head a second ago when he said, the more you read the Bible, the more likely you are to be atheist, I think.
I think that's...
I can't hear you. Oh, no. I'm liking the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it back out. I didn't. Yeah, take it back out.
Yeah, you guys hear me now?
Yeah, turn your volume down just a little bit. And
go ahead.
I don't hear an echo, so you should be.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I definitely would say I think the common thread that a lot of the guys who you mentioned have in common is that you guys come from evangelical backgrounds, especially being in America. How many Christians in America think that? Evolution is a lie of the devil. Adam and Eve really existed. If you don't take the Bible 100% literally, you're not really a real Christian. You have to look at the Bible this one particular way, or you're not looking at it the right way. So a lot of people, especially in America, they come from evangelical backgrounds. And of course, evangelicalism has nothing to do with Christian scholarship and a lot to do with humanism. So of course, if you're looking at the Bible from an emotional standpoint, then looking at it from a scholarly perspective, then of course you're going to lose your faith, of course. But you need to look at the Bible like you would any other ancient Near Eastern book. You go, you look at the culture, you go and you look at the language, you look at the history behind it. That's how you look at the Bible, like any other ancient Near Eastern book.
I'm interested in how you select or deselect what is or isn't true because, again, as he mentioned earlier, there is a through line where if you don't have Adam and Eve, you don't have Noah, which means you don't have Abraham, which means you don't have the religion.
Actually,
is it just when it gets weird?
No.
Is it really just when it gets weird? Like, what's the weirdest thing that you believe is true?
In Christianity, not like Bigfoot
or whatever, like he said earlier.
The weirdest
thing that's normal.
What would you think I would think is the weirdest thing that you believe in Christianity that's true? Notwithstanding the resurrection. So something other than the resurrection that's like super out there that I probably wouldn't believe. And then how did you determine that that's true?
Yeah.
A man through water and wine.
That's water really into wine? Yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird, but I know a guy that can do that. It's Matt Dillon. Magicians can do that. Yeah.
Do you believe Moses parted the Red Sea?
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah.
I believe God used Moses to part the Red Sea, but yeah, the Red Sea parted. I believe that, sure.
Okay. Now, how did you determine that is not true? But that is true. Or how did you determine that is true? However, the Genesis account is not. What is the difference between those two things? Why does one go off in your head like, ding, that's not true, and the other one goes, no, but that's fine?
Right. So when you look at the Genesis account, the Genesis account actually has a lot of common themes that a lot of other ancient Near Eastern like creation stories had, where they believed in the firmament. A lot of flat earthers will tell you, oh, the firmament, where they believed that the earth was flat. There was like this glass ceiling over top of the earth. And what else did they believe? Oh, and there's this, what do you call it? This temple language. There you go. The language of Genesis is consistent with that of a poem. You have, and then God said, and then God said, and then God said over and over and over again. Yeah. You have this garden imagery. Anytime in ancient Near Eastern thought where you have a garden, that is archetypal language. I mean, like I said,
in the Moses story, there's literary fire motif. The entire time he walks up to a fiery mountain, he's wreathed in smoke. He goes up, he comes down. They burn the shit. They melt the sacred cow. They go on. Some people get swallowed by the earth in a fiery pit. They continue on, and then there's a fire tornado. So that's also extremely literary. You could do a literary analysis on that story that you include in the factual representation of events that actually happened.
I would argue the Moses story is one of the more archetypal stories in the Old Testament.
Right, it's the meekest to the greatest. At first, he doesn't want to be the representative of God, a lot like Jonah that you disagree existed. And he has to get Aaron to talk for him because he has a stutter, then he does a snake staff stuff. I mean, we know this stuff too, and if you're going to say that the creation account is more literary, I have to disagree.
Yeah.
In both the language that's now and the contemporary time.
Hold on 1 second, Wayne. I just want to point out to your point where you said that because Genesis correlated with a lot of ancient writings beforehand. Did you know that the Moses story also had one of those with Sargon of Akkad? They had almost identical beginnings with the baby and a
Not the boomer, historical figure.
Right, yeah, not the YouTuber.
Yeah, not Colonel Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. And I'm agreeing with you. Also, too, the story of Noah and the Ark, that's comparable to the Epic of Gilgamesh, in a sense.
Wayne, you used to believe the Ark. I mean, when we first met, you were very much adamantly somebody who believed in the creationist. What now changed that you are able to separate things like the narrative for the Noah's flood, which now you agree is complete bullshit, but you accept things like the possibility of a man living in a fish or the water in the wine? That, I think that's what Hugo and Jake are kind of asking. By what standard do you say this story is clearly not true, because you used to believe all of it. You were a Bible inerrantist. So what?
Because to us, they look the same.
Well, because the example you used was a literary analysis of it, meaning that it had the affectations of something that would be an actual story.
But that applies to a lot of the Bible,
especially the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And then when you get into the New Testament writing, some of them just read like fever dreams. So
the entire Bible is written as a mythos. And a lot of people, when they hear the word mythos, they think that means, oh, it's not true. A mythos is just any type of story where there's some type of supernatural divine elements into it. So I could tell you a mythos about my day. I could tell you today I caught the bus and I was almost late for the bus, but I caught the bus by somehow, some way. And then guess what? I add God into the mix. You know, somehow, some way, I felt like God was the reason why I didn't miss the bus, because maybe God caused the bus driver to not, you know, leave me or whatever. Now, does it mean the entire story isn't true? No. I mean, I really woke up. I really was running for the bus and I really caught it. But yeah, the mythos is where I put God into the mix. And so I look at it the same way, where, you know, these events really did happen if you take it in this right general genre context. But the mythos infuses where you have this divine supernatural elements in it.
You understand if you extrapolate out from what you just said, though, the thing that you said you added to the story to make it mythos was the God part, which is the basis mm-hmm. for the religion.
Which is the part we disagree with.
Which is the part we disagree with.
Yeah.
I agree. If you take the God part out.
You can take the whole God part out. Just take it out.
But that's the whole point. That's the religion.
So that's interesting. Do you believe that God actively, I don't know, not a bus example, or it could be the bus example, like actively has a finger in your day-to-day life, or anyone's, not necessarily you? Like, do you think that there's a cosmic movement there?
I think God plays a role in all of our lives, but more like behind the scenes. So it's not as most, evangelical Christians would put it. I think it's a lot more clever. It's a lot more laid back. It's a lot more from behind the scenes.
I hope it's more clever.
So wait, I have to clarify. God has his finger in you from behind.
Oh, come on! Low-hanging fruit!
I just want to make sure I get this right.
Trash. Look, I am fascinated. I have to be honest with you. I am.
Because this is getting interesting now.
I'm a little fascinated.
So, yeah.
I love you, Wayne.
God, you know, he's doing things providentially behind the scenes while the curtains are closed. And I think the problem in, like, arises where people confuse, like, where does God have his role in, and like how does the Bible like play into our day-to-day life? I know a lot of Christians confuse the Bible's role in science, or the Bible's role in reality. So like I think of it as a layer cake. So this is actually an example by John Walton. It's so good. So the top layer of the cake, right, that's all to do with like the natural world, science and stuff like that, right? And then there's, you know, the bottom layer of the cake, where it's not that they're intersecting, but they're two different parts. So, you know, science deals with the natural world around us, and then when it comes to like the Bible and God and religion, that's more about spiritual things, right? Like theological things. So they definitely don't have to disagree.
To me, it seems like what you're doing is trying to separate out a category specifically for yourself that is apart from reality, essentially so you can define certain things as spiritual, and therefore they're not to be scrutinized by the same standards by which we scrutinize science. That's what it sounds like to me you're saying, essentially. Does that make sense?
I'm also wondering if you get a personal boon from the, like, does it, is there a feel thing here? Is there like, it feels good or right?
No. Feelings are horrible to go off of. There definitely is a thing where, like, for example, philosophy, there's more, like I always say, Steve, there's more ways to know about the world than just science. There's different type of truths besides science. There's philosophical truths, right? There's mathematical truths, so there's different types of truths in the world besides the science. And so,
I would argue math is a science.
Well, I would argue
math not a science. It's debated.
Not a science?
Yeah,
math is a tool of science, but math is not a science.
Okay, I'll accept a tool of science.
And I mean, even in science, we use philosophy. We use philosophical truths so we can come to scientific truths. So we definitely can use them to our advantage.
But again, how would you define the way I define truth is that which is in accordance with reality, essentially. The truth is that which is true. It is in accordance with the world and reality. At the end of the day, you can talk about...
Tim Brigand Kate will pop up somewhere if you say that way too many times. So just be careful. What is your
definition of truth? Tell me now.
So,
no,
I lost my train of thought.
Reality,
that was still in accordance
When you say reality, what do you mean? Yeah, do you think reality is all of the natural world?
Yes.
Like all of the physical world, like
everything. Reality is the world, the universe. It is the natural world, yes.
Physics, et cetera.
I'm a naturalist, so yeah.
I would say I'm a theistic naturalist. So, like, when you say the natural world, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Like, do you think like there are
That's
only
kind of a contradiction.
Like? Not really. I don't think God will ever break the laws of physics. If he does, like,
you were talking about water and wine. That directly breaks the laws of physics, as does parting the Red Sea. That is the reason those things are miraculous is because of the way they defy the laws of physics. Those things don't happen naturally.
They would be out of the ordinary. They don't happen on the day to day. But there isn't some type of law, right? That because if it did happen in the natural world, it wouldn't break.
No, it does.
I think what Wayne's trying to say is if God does it, he's not breaking the laws of physics because he's made the laws of physics such that he can change them at will for some reason.
Oh,
prescriptively,
no.
these things are changeable because you have a contradiction because you can't say theistic naturalist. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no, biologist uses it. but
it doesn't make
sense. Who was the really famous evolutionist, really biologist? He's some type of natural law behind evolution. We just haven't found it yet. So who's to say with the different miracles in the Bible, there's some type of natural phenomena that can account for these things, but we just discovered it yet.
We understand many of the underlying causes of evolution, though. Natural selection, different selection pressures. We understand these things. We might not understand them completely, but that doesn't necessarily imply a supernatural cause.
Yeah, and also, like, we're not talking about, two people having a baby and it looking a little bit like them, and then down the line it evolves into something that we think is not the original parentage. We're talking about actually, like, parting a sea, which is not slow, nor is it natural. It's
not something that happens.
It just has never happened.
It's never happened as far as we know. There's no actual recorded evidence of it happening.
It's a highly improbable event. And just because it's highly improbable doesn't mean it never happened.
That's just leaving a gap.
I would easily, if I
I'll make a bet. You'll never see this happen in the history of your life.
I bet you my house. You will my house, literally. You can have my house if a sea parts for hours.
Right. Without mechanical intervention. If it just...
That's a good bet.
I'll give you a really good about how everybody in this room right now believes it. And this is kind of sort of miraculous. Life on planet Earth happened one time. Once. Spontaneously. And we all believe it.
I don't believe that. Wait, I don't believe that. I'm in this room, and I don't believe that.
You have no way to know that.
Yeah,
we don't necessarily. I do not believe exactly spontaneous generation.
I don't believe one time. I don't believe that.
There's lots of things. Panspermia is a very common one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People go to.
It didn't even start here.
Amino acid.
And life could have started different places, but only one was successful.
And again, we're talking about at the end of the day,
our solar system in an infinite universe, of course.
Again, we're talking about the difference between saying we believe life exists, which the evidence for that is
we exist.
Yeah. You're comparing that to something which no one has, as far as we know. Again, I'm talking about recorded history, not just like a story. And I recognize that you don't necessarily just see it as a story, but it just doesn't happen. It's not just that it's unlikely. It's that it's never happened as far as we really know. There's no recording of it. There's no natural phenomenon that we've ever seen that would lead to that sort of effect.
There's recording of it, but it's not a scientific recording. These people weren't scientists, and so it's like...
Oh. The recording of it is in the book that you're trying to prove. That doesn't work. Like, you can't use that. You can't use the Bible to.
That's a corroborate
it. Actually, there's extra biblical evidence of a lot of the things that happened in Exodus. So, actually, if I didn't believe in the Bible, I could bring up the Emperor Papyrus, and that has a lot of the different miracles that happened in Exodus. But also, one thing.
What are the evidences? What are the evidences? When you say evidence, what is that? Like, what is the evidence that you're talking about?
So Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, it's Deuteronomy because Exodus comes after. In the book of Deuteronomy, there's darkness on the land for like 3 or 4 days or something like that for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And people say, "Oh, that's impossible. Like, people would die without the light from the sun." Assuming that this is what these people are talking about. Remember, these are ancient people, so we have to try and like connect the dots where they couldn't. So now we actually do have evidence of what they were trying to talk about, but they didn't have the language and the words like we do today.
So you're saying, I haven't seen some real YouTube. So what about
I didn't even get to the actual evidence. So there was we actually carbon dated a volcano across from Egypt. It's called I think it's Mount Therma. You guys can go and you can Google it right now live. It's like Volcano Therma, something like that. And it was because that volcano erupted. It caused, over there in that land of Egypt, wherever they were at, that part of Africa, it caused that land to be darkened for those couple of days where the people in the Emperor Papyrus recorded the same event. And we actually carved it.
I could buy that. That's fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah, what about when the sun stops in the middle of the sky?
If you accept things like volcanoes can cause sunlight to go away for several days and things of that nature, and as a concordance, you kind of accept that many things do have scientific explanations, why do you add the God aspect then? What does God come in as an explanation for anything if all these things can be explained without him?
You literally made an argument against God.
So I actually will argue that because a lot of the historical events that these people did like explain and talk about, like, so for example, like I said earlier, I said a lot of the miracles are not, well, the miracles that we can't explain in the Bible through scientific means yet, it doesn't mean we won't be able to explain them yet later. And guess what? That's one miracle that we actually were able to describe scientifically because we found the evidence, thousands of years through the volcano. So
to me, it sounds like you're saying, I believe it because I believe it, and therefore I'm going to go out and search for evidence that I can therefore create post hoc rationalizations for what these miracles are actually trying to describe in a naturalistic sense. It just, I don't know.
I feel like you're a couple years away from sitting on the couch right next to us.
He's coming a long way, so it's possible.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, so when the sun stopped in the middle of the sky, in around the same time, like, what's is that real? We're just going to go through
So, like, keep in mind, these people are ancient people, so we have to figure out, okay, what are they really talking about? But before I go into that, let me explain something else. So, I know you guys are familiar with, like, Genesis 3, and people believing there were giants on the planet. I know you guys have heard something like that. People think they're people. Okay, so actually, if you take into account that they used the base 60 number system, the height of Goliath would have been about like 7 feet. If you take into account, like, we use a base 10 number system today, so of course these numbers are going to be
right. They have cubits in here with actual measurements.
But again, the arguments you're making, I don't disagree with you, but what you're doing is you're making a naturalistic argument as to why the Bible stories aren't literal which to me seems like the opposite of, and I know you're not like a literalist, but again, I don't understand how what you're saying leads you to continue with Christianity as opposed to the opposite. Because again, it seems to me you're just putting God into the story because you're already kind of there. You know what I mean? You're already saying, you're already in a place where you believe in God.
It's post hoc rationalization and maybe a little bit of Texas sharpshooting, because you're kind of saying, here's all my data, but I'm going to throw this in because it's kind of around the target area I'm looking for, which is Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Wayne, do you kind of see that?
The whole thing with the God thing, the belief in God is a belief. I couldn't like mathematically prove it to you. I couldn't scientifically prove it to you. But what I can do is I can give philosophical arguments, and based off of those arguments, you can say, you know what? It's highly likely that this is the case. It's probable that this is the case. This probably did.
Sure, happen. Sure, you can do that. But those are talking about evidential. I mean, there's a difference between evidential and rational, right? You can argue rational arguments, and that's perfectly fine to do so. Aquinas' five way and those kind of things. But what they're asking is what is the non-rational as far as the empirical, what they're asking for? Because you're saying that the Bible has all these evidences, and they're taking it to be empirical, which is fine. It doesn't have to be, but let's go with that. And you're saying that, you know what? I can actually find actual naturalistic explanations for many of these things.
Right.
So their argument is, and it's a good argument, why have God in that equation if it's just an added extra assumption that you don't need to explain the phenomenon?
Right. And answer your question about the sun too, Wayne, because he asked you a question like about what that would be an example
Most likely what these people were talking about was probably like some type of eclipse. I know this was like, and this is really big in like Christendom like a couple of months ago, where they were trying to relate that verse to an eclipse. Or something of the fact.
It'd be the opposite of an eclipse, because the sun was in the sky for extra time. It was for 24 hours, so it would literally mean the rotation of the Earth would have had to have stopped.
Right.
Yeah,
because that's,
that kills folks.
Or maybe people are just looking at it too literally. I mean, you have to like.
The sun stopped in the sky. I don't understand how else you could.
Joshua Ted, I can read it if you like.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But also, you have to remember these same people in Genesis, they're arguing that the planet is flat. So you have to take into account their way of thinking scientifically.
That's understandable, Wayne. The ground out in front of you, it's easy to think that the Earth is flat back then. Like you had a reason to, because you could only see like straight out. But watching the sun just stop in the middle of the sky is not something that can be missed, like at all. It's light for 12 hours.
Something just asked me added. I mean, like you said, there's so many different stories in there. Why couldn't a scribe just have added that story? Doesn't it have to actually correspond to an actual event? Could have been an optical illusion. Could have been a dog star.
The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. And since the Lord listened to a human being. It was Joshua. It's verse 10 right at the end, right above. It's about 15.
The sun stopped
in the middle of the day. Like,
I don't know how else you
And this is in
that.
The middle, by the way. This is in the middle of historical text when they're talking about King of Jerusalem and Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it. So, I mean, this is during that section where you're having conquest and stuff, and they're locking down what people consider historical fact. It's right at the end of that, and then right after that, five Amorite kings get killed, which I assume you would consider a historical document. But right before, so do you just take that part out, or are you like?
No, but you guys are doing exactly what younger creationists do. Younger creationists do the same exact thing where they say, look at the English translation of it, and like take everything else you know about ancient texts out, and we're just going to look at it in the English language as it is. I mean, that's what younger creationists do the same thing. And so what I'm saying is, why not take into account that these
are people? I'll look up the Hebrew.
Well, no, not even. So I'm talking about just the culture and what they would have thought. Like an ancient person, scientifically, like there were a lot of things going on in their mind about how they thought the world operated.
The sun stopping in the middle of the south is not a cultural thing. I mean, it's a planetary event. Like it defies culture.
Yeah,
and that's something that is testable. I mean, obviously, I think most people probably agree. If the sun actually stopped, that would not generally be that explainable by anything that we know about natural science. Physics would just not allow for that. It would tear the earth apart.
It depends on the you know.
We know the sun doesn't stop and stuff. We know that's not how the world works, and so we have to try. We have to say, okay,
we know oceans don't split. We know that's how the world works. I would argue. So again, I'm trying to find the delineation between my thought process and your thought process. There,
I think
so. It sounds like you're becoming a naturalist, Wayne.
I really
do. I am a naturalist. I'm a theistic naturalist. I believe.
I think you just dropped the theistic part. I think that doesn't matter.
We're going to lose the prefix.
We've got to wrap our tune too, guys, because we're
hitting the... That's like saying I'm an atheist theist. It just doesn't make sense. I mean,
wait, didn't we have five questions to do at some point?
Yeah,
Wayne. Did you bring your questions?
Did you bring your questions, Wayne?
Did you do them?
I have my questions ready. So
okay,
some of these are like...
If they're okay with it, like if you guys have time to get through it.
Whenever
we're done with that, we'll just be done. We'll go a little long.
You guys can go like part of C or something.
I like Wayne. That's fine.
Yeah, you're all right, Wayne. You're gonna be on the couch in about a couple months, but
it's not a lot of room, but it's fine.
Hopefully not. My pastor will have a heart attack. So my first question is, what does John chapter 30 verse 28 say?
So I have to read that. Mark, Luke, John.
Are you asking us off the top of our head? I don't know verses by heart off the top of my head.
John chapter what?
30 chapter verse 28.
Chapter 30 verse 28. John chapter 30.
No, I'm just messing with you guys. It does.
Chapter 30 doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
It only goes to 21.
Good question.
Nicely done, Wade. Go ahead and do your
I was wondering like why I skipped it so much. I was in Acts suddenly and I was confused.
That was funny, Wade.
It's not real. So my second question would be, if heaven exists, do you guys think there's going to be pets in heaven?
Interesting question.
No.
Why?
Are we
talking about heaven? That's because, like hell if you don't have like puppies and kids.
Well, I have a good question about heaven to ask you in a second, but no, animals are sacrifices.
If we're going by Christian doctrine, I'd say no, because specifically humans are different than other animals.
If we're going
that.
By all dogs go to heaven, Hugo and Jake Hopley. Hoping that yes, dogs are cool, man. I like dogs. I have a dog.
Yeah, and dogs deserve heaven more than people do.
100%. Yeah, I have a question for you on heaven. If the person you love most in life dies and goes to hell, is it heaven when you get there?
That's a good question. I guess I had to wait and find out.
Okay.
That was not the answer I expected.
I mean, I won't know until I get there, so I can. But some Calvinists think that God is like going to wipe your mind or something like that and make you forget. Yeah. I think that's kind of like psychotic.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I mean, what the hell kind of God does that? Yeah, that's kind of
the answer I get often is, well, you'll just be happy, which kind of negates any reason you should be in heaven to begin with because you're not the person you were when you got there.
I do know Revelation says that God will wipe the tears off of everybody's faces when they get to heaven or when the world ends or something like that in Revelation. It said he'll wipe the tears off of everybody's eyes. So it could be when you get to heaven, maybe you still do have real emotions and feelings and stuff. I mean, like if your mom goes to hell, like you're going to be sad. Like I know I would.
But there's no tears in heaven though. So it couldn't be.
Eric Clapton says otherwise.
Thank you. Thank you. I was hoping somebody would pick that up. Very good.
My next question is, Do you guys know like about like because Steve, this is more about all right, I'll ask you guys. Do you guys know about like geometry, like Euclidean geometry and things along those lines?
I took it in high school.
I took it in high school.
I know well, basic I mean, math.
We understand
stuff.
Basic
I'm not
stuff.
Good
what do you, what do you
the
know?
Pythagorean theorem, man. I can make stairs.
These are okay. These are questions I was not expecting. I can't wait to find out where this goes, Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Steve, maybe you can help them with this, sort of, I guess, because you're like the math guy, Steve.
Not really.
Applying what we
geometry is not my strong suit. What?
Applying what we know about Euclidean geometry, if God exists, what would be the most efficient way for God to reveal himself? Keep in mind, I'm referencing what? Euclidean geometry.
What do you mean by within Euclidean geometry? Like, what do you mean? What does space and dimensions have to do with how he's revealing himself?
You take thoughts and break it down into math and try to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Euclidean. Wayne, do you know the difference between Euclidean and non-Euclidean?
Euclidean is dealing with Euclidean, right? That's when Euclid wrote his book, the different dimensions and stuff like that. The elements.
It's simpler than that. Euclidean geometry, a triangle adds up all the angles up to 180. On non-Euclidean, it won't add up to 180. It's all the main difference between Euclidean and
non-Euclidean. Okay, so how does that apply to the belief in God?
I don't understand the question.
How geometry gets to that.
Are you talking about like reveal himself in the literal sense, like he's going to visually appear to people?
What do you mean reveal himself in the fact that like these truths exist outside of our knowledge? And
I just get it.
And it must have been placed by an intelligence. Is that what you're saying? Kind of like
my green screen is kind of. But Wayne, I did the formulas, Wayne, right here. It says number one, appear. Number two, say hi.
What I mean by that is the best way I could break down is have you guys ever heard of like the book Flatland?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, it was great. It's one of my favorite all time books.
The dimension in which he exists.
Oh, that's your art. Is that what you're saying? Like, what if God is just like
outside our dimension,
like in a higher plane of existence, a la Flatland?
In Doctor Who, they hide stuff by placing it a second out of sync with the rest of time.
Sure,
maybe he does that. Maybe he is a TARDIS.
There's some issues with all that, though. I mean, by the way, if you like Flatland, another book you might want to read is called I think it's called a Planiverse. It's a very similar type of novel.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, Edwin Abbott was one of the favorite authors on
Flatland. Yep, the idea is he's hiding in plain sight, but we are unable to perceive him.
My answer is probably, you're not going to like my answer, but if God is God, he would know the most effective way to reveal himself to people. Because he's God, and therefore...
Right, why play hide-and-go-seek when you could just be like, boom, I exist? And I know that the counter-argument to that is, oh, well, faith is what he desires. Why does a perfect being have a desire?
Yeah, that's
and the problem with this argument, Wayne, is that if God exists, he can't just exist in hyper dimensions. He can't just exist in dimensions that we don't see, right? Because we live in a fourth dimensional reality, right? But if God exists, he has to list. He would exist ubiquitously in all dimensions, right? He would be everywhere.
Yeah, right. He's omnipresent.
I'm agreeing with you. So what I'm saying is. Right, like think of it like in that Flatland plane where like you had these two-dimensional people and like they can't perceive, you know, this higher being. And like no matter what it is, like it doesn't have to necessarily be God. It could be aliens, but just for the fact that these beings are higher than us, they would be God to us. We would call these beings gods. I mean, they can transfer
when the sphere came down through the plane and the square, the protagonist of the story, when he saw the cross section of the sphere, he saw it as a perfect circle. And in Flatland, the hierarchy was based upon how many sides you had. The more sides you had, the greater nobilities you were, right? If you had a perfect, if you're a perfect circle, you had no sides, you were a deity, right? Is that your analogy that you're using?
Sort of. Yeah. Oh, Steve, you're following. Of course.
I read the book. Books.
So what I'm saying is, with God existing in all dimensions and all that stuff, I would say the best way for him to reveal himself, you know, to us, is for him to enter into our plane of space And so I will argue with, you know, the incarnation of Jesus, that's been done, where God not only did that, but he became a part of the universe with evolution. Mm. I mean, like, because Jesus existed, Jesus is our cousin.
Sure. Again, I have to ask, though, why is that explanation to you more reasonable and simpler than people were just mistaken about Jesus or mistaken about God? You mentioned this earlier, too. You're at the point where you recognize that people who wrote the Bible didn't have the abilities we have now to discern things scientifically. You recognize that. You recognize that they were incapable of describing things in the same manner we are capable of describing and understanding them now.
Right.
I don't understand why you don't take that one step further and say, therefore, they could have been wrong about the God part of the story.
Or why not Mary had sex?
Right.
She did have sex.
Maybe she had a lot of sons. Yeah.
That's the question. Had a brother,
back then they called these things miracles, right? But we know now there's explanations of why things happen. If Mary did conceive of Jesus, the more likely scenario from a naturalistic point of view is she obviously had sex.
Or she right. got
didn't require any kind of, you know, virgin birth.
Right, and like you're jumping to these things like higher dimensions and like you're getting way ahead of yourself. Why do you as a post hoc rationalization before you say, wait a minute, maybe my preconceptions, my starting point isn't necessarily correct. Maybe the simpler answer is the God claims are unfounded and mistaken. And that's okay. That's not a moral judgment. It's just that can be the case. People can be mistaken and move forward from false premises.
I am in agreement with you. They could have been mistaken because they're human. And so And so we understand that these people, they didn't know anything about science, but there's more truths in the world besides scientific truths. So, you know, they could be right about the spiritual truths, about the religious truths, the theological truths, stuff like that.
But again, what do you mean by that when you say that as opposed to the literal meaning of the word truth? What do you mean spiritual truth? How is a spiritual truth by definition different than a scientific truth?
So a spiritual truth
would be
an immaterial truth. I mean, science deals with the natural material world, but there's other. I mean, science
define
doesn't have
immaterial truth.
Hey, let me help you, Wayne. So, a truth has a corresponding fact to it. Okay, if you want to use a correspondence theory. Okay, so what is the corresponding fact to a spiritual truth?
Corresponding fact to, most spiritual truths are founded in theology. But you don't necessarily have to believe in a God, so you can have spiritual truths, you know?
Give us what you would consider a spiritual truth, like something you consider the truth, but not in a scientific sense, in a spiritual sense. Give us an example.
We all have some type of yearning to find out, the nature of existence.
Okay, that's an observation. In what way is that a spiritual truth as opposed to just an observation about reality and the fact that human beings have certain desires?
Also, I would argue that that's evolutionarily why we succeeded in the first place.
Right.
Is our curiosity toward anything. And at a certain point, when you develop enough, of course, your curiosity would leap from normal thought to the more esoteric concepts.
Nothing about that claim seems spiritual to me. It just seems like a general claim about how humans behave.
It actually is. If you think about that, we're connected to the cosmos, and we are the cosmos trying to interact with itself and figure itself out. That's very spiritual.
That's a super cool fact. I totally agree with you. Yeah. It's very interesting to think that a star may have exploded at some point, and we're made of similar stuff, and we can look at it, and it's basically it looking at itself. But that's not. That's just because that's how atoms work. It's not because of how.
That's beautiful.
We are the universe uses to know itself. That's
So you've explained the how, and then what you've done is you've taken away the why. Like we understand how. That's great. That's beautiful. But there's also why is there a universe at all? You know those.
How is
those,
that not a scientific question?
Science can answer that as well, though, Wayne.
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, it is a philosophical question. It's an existential question.
I think the fact that you're assuming there is...
It seems presuppositional.
Right. Why do you assume there is a why? You're assuming in the first place that there is, like, not just a cause, an A to B cause and effect, but a reason, which is...
Like a meaning catalyst.
Right. It's like you're asking what color is time. It's just like a nonsensical question. Why is the universe? There is no why. It's physics, as far as we understand it.
Yeah. And that could change, but as of right now...
Pink, obviously.
Science does not even attempt to go there. Science has no bearing. That's a philosophical truth. Why is there sin?
Well, it's not necessarily
a truth with an answer. That's not like, again.
The answer to why does the universe exist may not have an answer because there is no reason. It's like,
called a principle of naturalistic.
Almost every other why I can think of is naturalistic. Like, why are tomatoes red? Evolution. So
even that, I would argue at the end of the day, it's just we're discussing basically semantics is it a scientific question?
Well, it's metaphysics versus science. There's a scientific explanation why the Earth, why the universe exists. The metaphysics of why, the greater why, is there anything? Yeah. That's a philosophical question. But you have to accept the principle of sufficient reason to even get there, Wayne. Not everybody accepts the principle of sufficient reason. But again, science can explain why there is something from nothing. It may not be right, but there are models out there that do attempt to do that.
And that's still what you're talking about, Wayne, spiritual truth. Like, I think that's more of a question than it is actually stating something that's true spiritually.
Also, I would argue, even if we do say that even if we were to say to you, yes, some things are spiritual truth, something, whatever. Sure. I disagree, but even if we were to, the answer or the question, does God exist, is not a spiritual question by that definition. That's a scientific
one. It's a naturalistic quest.
You could say, why does God exist in that definition could be a philosophical or spiritual question. But is God existent or not? That's the claim about reality.
I'm also interested in why there's a difference between God's existence and the universe's existence. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you think God's existence is like you can do a test to determine whether or not God exists.
I don't know if I could come up with such a test, but the fact is
that our tests don't find him.
Either there is a God or there isn't. It's not a Schrodinger's cat. It's not. Either there is or there isn't. It's a claim.
It's called prayer,
Wayne. It's falsifiable. If you make a claim that something exists, it either does or it doesn't.
Now, the problem is that God, by definition, because science does adhere to methodological naturalism, you cannot use science to test the God claim. Even though it's an ontological claim, I do agree. But science itself is not the tool to be used for it. That's why science is separated from other aspects of like natural philosophy for that very reason. So science doesn't even deal with the possibility of a God because it doesn't even address it. So anything that a theist will posit as a God claim, that's outside the realm of science. Science doesn't deal with that.
I think science by could design. If he existed.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, if a God existed, he would if God against naturalism.
You can't use scientific methodology to do that. That's when the theists will jump in and say, "Oh, look at these guys; they're here in scientism," and they'd be right.
They believe in talking snakes. You've got to make a distinction between the two.
I just think I'm trying to think of a way we prove things exist outside of naturalism.
At the end of the day, it comes down to we don't believe things because science hasn't proved them false.
Yeah.
We believe things because we have evidence that they're true, and you say that you think there's evidence, but again, in this entire conversation, there have been a lot of claims, there have been quotes of Bible verses, but nothing I would call evidence necessarily. It's just claims and belief.
It's been a good conversation. This was fantastic. But I will say, I love you to death, Wayne. You know I love you, but I think that I think you're close. I can feel it.
Do
you guys know that Jack and Glenn actually did a video on Wayne many, 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 many years ago? So, and if you, I'm not gonna bring up where it's at because it's no longer around. But I haven't. But if you ever watched, if you ever see him years ago, he has progressed tremendously from those days. I assure you.
I think this happens.
We should release that on the channel.
Not until Jack and Glenn gives it. No, I've reached out to Jacqueline, and other people have tried. Wayne wants to actually have a conversation with her and kind of like talk about how he's changed since that video, because she blasted the shit out of him, and she won't do it, and I find that to be distasteful.
Because
you know if somebody is going to actually like change their position, you should know that, and she hasn't.
You can get her in your first atheist video response that you do. You can get her back there. Ooh, never mind. Go ahead and Wayne, I'm gonna give you the chance to wrap up any thoughts that you have. Plug your channel, that sort of thing. Let people know where they can follow you if they want to, all that good stuff. So whenever you're ready. And Wayne will be back the 27th, I believe, right?
Yes, I actually am. I thought it was the 21st. Yeah, maybe 27, whatever.
It changes all the time. It's somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on how I feel.
So pretty much. So you guys watching, my channel, I definitely invite theists, atheists, deists, whoever you are, come to my channel. And my channel mostly now is mostly just about like science and stuff. I mean, like we can talk about God and stuff. That's cool. But my main field that I definitely love is astrophysics, love astronomy. You can follow my channel by typing in science enthusiast, or you can just like type my name in. I changed my YouTube channel, type in, Wayne Fillmore. I should probably pop up. If that doesn't work,
I've definitely heard of you before.
Oh yeah. If that doesn't pop up, type in Michael Heiser and Wayne Fillmore. Got the chance to interview one of the best Bible scholars in the world. My final thoughts, I guess this is like what Jerry's final thoughts. My final thought is you definitely can have your cake. I think like I always tell people at my church, just because you are religious, that does not give you an excuse to be stupid. That does not give you an excuse to like deny things about the natural world. You do not get to deny things like astronomy and earth science and biology because you think the planet is 6,000 years old or whatever. Go out, you know, like I did, and disprove your model wrong. And if it turns out that, you know, it's not true, life goes on. So like if I, you know, a year from now, I say, you know, I don't think God exists. I don't murder him, doing stuff like Eric Hovind. Life will go on. So those are my final thoughts. Life goes on, like in Jurassic Park.
I'm so proud of you.
That's the single greatest closing. That's the single greatest closing argument I've ever heard. Bravo, sir. Bravo. All right. And to Hugo and Jake, this was probably one of my favorite shows that I don't think that I've laughed that hard, especially at the beginning, that whole thing with, and I hope that you don't like ostracize me and think that I'm a millennialist, because I'm not.
No, I'm just a dick.
But a big special thanks to you guys. And please wrap up any final thoughts that you have and let everybody know where they can find you. Both your channels, links are in the description, and go check them out, guys. Especially the Jonah and the Whale story. You will be so happy that you did. It's fantastic. But take it away, gentlemen.
Thanks for coming on, Wayne. It was a good discussion. I know for a fact, thinking about it back, when you were a little more hardline, you got in touch with me, and you're like, come debate me. And I definitely said no to you. But I'm glad that we're here now.
You should have, because I debated Wayne, and Wayne left Young Earth Creationism a month later after realized that I was correct about evolution.
Yeah, maybe so. I should have. But
this came full circle.
It can work. He's one of the very few success stories of a debate that somebody actually listened, learned, and changed their position.
Maybe in another month, he'll be doing collaborations instead.
He's going to be on that couch. So, watch.
As far as my final thoughts on the thing, I think if anyone is kind of in Wayne's position where you're more of a scientific-minded Christian, which is a good thing for the record, I think that's fantastic, where you do realize that real life exists and it is affected by us and our decisions,
yeah,
and science is real and all of these things are important, that's great. Apply your scrutiny to the parts that you do believe. again and again, and until it, if it holds up forever, that's great. Live your life. I hope it's great. But I don't think it's going to hold up. I just don't think it will. And sources that are people that aren't corroborated by other people, like it's pretty weak sauce. So I'm hoping that the next time we talk, I don't know what the next step is, if it's not atheism, but whatever that is, it's agnostic, right?
Sure.
Yes, come to my world. We got cookies. Yeah, come. Dirty, come on, Wayne. Fence-sitters. You can do it, man. I got cookies. Yep. Come to the dark side.
Just like Gnosticism. Steve. That's right.
Don't do it.
I need somebody on my side, brother. Come on. You could do it, man.
The chocolate chip milk, I'll do it.
You know, no, macadamia, dude.
Macadamia?
Go ahead and let people know about...
they're expensive. They're good.
You go with Jake and the Bible Reloaded. Fantastic series.
Oh, yeah. We do atheist Bible study. We recently finished the entire Old Testament. We've been doing it for like 6 years, so there's 6 years of videos of us reading straight through the Bible.
They're funny, though.
Yeah,
they're not boring.
We recently started the New Testament, and what we're doing is sort of a comparative look at the Gospels and how essentially the story evolved over time and the different things that were added. It's very interesting stuff, so check that out. We also do reviews of Christian movies and stuff also. Just
Chick Tracks.
Yeah.
Quran
Reloaded
series on. We're doing a Quran Reloaded right now has been flagged into oblivion.
I think it's almost done.
Is it almost done?
Yeah.
Hey,
we're
gonna
get back on it soon.
Get back onto it when it makes sense to do that. And then we're also doing a Jordan Peterson series because his book 12 Rules for Life is a religious book. And if you don't believe me, you should watch the show because
I'm not woke enough for that. Yeah, not woke enough.
You should be more woken.
Look at how many got like all the fucking. Notes Holy I'm taking crap. In this goddamn thing. It's trash.
This is it's a religious book.
Anyway,
he wants to convert people.
A question came to me the other day when you guys, since you're going through the entire Bible, sure. What did you do when you got to the begats and the begats and the begats and the begats and the
skip
begats?
That.
We skipped the begats.
We note it every time. List. Every time we skip something, we note it. Yeah. Like we didn't read every single psalm and we didn't read every single proverb.
Yeah.
Because some of those are just like, hey, don't stare directly into the sun or something stupid.
Right.
So like a lot of them are just like kind of obvious. Some of them are more funny. Like there's a whole section where like women are evil and trying to get your sperm so they can lock you down. And so, yeah. So some of those, anytime we skip anything,
we
mention
it,
but I think we've read 90%.
That's where I'd peg it.
I'd peg it 90%. So all the good stuff, anything that has like an actual narrative, we've definitely read. Anything that starts to drone on and repeat itself, we skip.
But so far,
the New Testament, every word of it.
You pointed out one good thing, though. Right. There is truth in the Bible, actually. That whole women are mean, trying to steal sperm.
Absolutely. We've mentioned parts in this like... like when you have a hooker and you want to cut her up, just do it.
That's like, a story
I think,
in the Bible.
I think you know, do that, right?
They actually had to tell somebody that. That's common sense. Wayne, see, these are the points you should be bringing up: mean women and hacking people to death.
How to dispose of hooker bodies properly? It's an art that we all should know.
Right.
Spoilers: your body parts to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah,
to
it's freak them out. Judges 19, by the way, the Levite and his concubine. That's some juicy stuff. If you want to read that to your kids at night.
Speaking of reading, I think it's about a good time we get to the super chats because we got a lot of super chats to get out of the way and quickly later. Oh, you guys want to stick around for that?
You don't have to. We're going to read out.
Are they questions for us or?
Yeah, that's a good question, Steve. Sort through them if there's any questions.
If there's any questions for us.
Yeah.
Just one that I see, but you already answered.
And I hate you.
Prophet of Cthulhu, have you guys settled Quran Reloaded issue yet? $5, but you already mentioned that, so.
Yeah, it'll be back soon.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, so like I said, you're going to stick around or are you going to take off?
It's up to you. What time is it? 10:10? Headed out?
We'll get through
them.
We'll get through them in 5 minutes.
Five minutes?
Five?
That's fine.
Oh,
totally fine.
Yeah, cool. We're reading fast. Okay. One of them I got to sing. So.
Super chat these guys. They're working hard.
Super chat time. Brant, $5. Have to get to work. Just want to say hi to Hugo and Jake. Thanks for the tiny shoes, by the way. Inside thing. Must know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The deep cut. Tiny nice shoes. Good ref.
So mathematician pagan. 5 pounds. Never been so happy to be in a Xenial after I've seen Flat Earth statistics. Yeah, no kidding. I want to know what they. I want to say about. I want to talk about the X generation.
Okay, by the way, you're our parents. Nobody believes that shit. You're our parents. Xenial? It's your fault.
X generation would be Xenial.
Well, I don't know.
And then there's Y generation. Blacksmith, $5. One thing I hate about my generation is lack of social skills. You'd swear that most of them were autistic if you didn't know any better. Probably true.
Too many vaccines.
0, 1, 3, 2.
Too many.
Oh yeah. Any of those vaccine people, you guys are just don't reproduce. 0, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, $10. Eating Tide pods or pouring boiling water on yourself is just societal apoptosis. Also, you all meant to discuss weight loss and you forgot to bring Jackson Wheat. That's funny. Societal apoptosis. You should combine those
two and just drown in the bubbles that would come out of the pot of boiling water and Tide pods. That'd be a hell of
God,
a
I'm going to use that. Yeah.
Such
sure, I'm stealing that.
Yeah.
I love good. That phrase. Tony Dubs, $5. Train challenge needs to be more attractive, needs to have a more attractive name. Locomotive challenge? Maybe.
The little engine that could end your life challenge.
No. Train bonanza. There you go.
Train what the fuckery. Gerhard's
Getting a train run on you?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Getting a train run on you. Not what it used to be when my day, but $10 or 10 francs or pounds. I don't know what that symbol is. Thanks for the show. You made me question my beliefs and verify or falsify the shit I got in my mind. Drink up. Well, that's good. We like people that can verify things. You should. Jammy, I just wanted to say I wish every theological discussion could go as well as this one has. Disagreement and respect, imagine that. Great job, all of you. Wayne, you have set a high standard for theists everywhere. That was $20. Thank you, Jammy. And Wayne, I agree. You are one of my favorite theists. You know that. You know I will always love you and hold you special in my heart.
You don't need a moment.
You drive me nuts sometimes. We have our own alone time.
Our last theist debate was with G-Man. So it was a lower bar, and you well exceeded it. But still, thank you for setting a new one.
Oh man!
Yeah, we know that Wayne loves G, right? We love you. Just you and G man, just best buds, right?
OMG man, OMG man.
Prophet Cthulhu. Just that was the. He says $2. Please introduce Hugo and Jake to Wonton.
No, we couldn't do that to Hugo and Jake. These guys are my favorite. I can't do that to them.
We won't do that to you. I'm going to read Jammy's last. So two more. 0, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, $10. Someone tripped on shrooms. Time felt like it was slowing down, and everything felt meaningful for a day. Dude said the day was like 3 days long. Story made it to the Bible. There you go. Tripping balls, baby. Could be plausible.
Stone scribe
and then
theory.
Jammy. Yeah, stone scribe theory, SST. Jammy, $50. Steve must sing the super chat. Oh, God. A fair warning. I can't sing, but for Jammy, Jammy's the only one that's going to ever get away with this, and I'm never going to do it again, but I will this one.
Right. Yeah,
I'm nervous for you. If God is an engineer could do it and he can't sing, I'll give it a shot. It's the Bible Reloaded, a logic explosion. Like Jesus and Moses is Hugo and Jake. The Bible is jaded, and most of it's pagan, so get excited with Hugo. Get educated with Hugo and Jake. It's the Bible Reloaded with Hugo and Jake. There you go.
Oh, it's like you're at church with the y'all cute person.
The Bible is jaded, and most of it's pagan.
So, guys, we'll rip that all for you so that you can dub that into your intro, because I know that you'll get along.
There you go.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you again.
This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays,
Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls, and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel, and much more, become a Patreon saint of non sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is non sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McCrae.